How's about it? Hockey Talk Show coming to you live on this Wednesday, August 21st. We got a lot to get into. Mitch Marner and his camp actually threatening to go play over in the Swiss League. I love it. I absolutely, completely, and utterly love it. Just when we thought, oh, the offseason is getting so boring and we have nothing to talk about, boom, Mitch Marner's camp comes to the rescue. Hi, everybody. I have an idea. Let's tell everyone we're considering signing with Zurich in the Swiss League. That'll fire things up, and it sure has. Is this legitimate or not? Where does this leave the Leafs? Trade rumors, I noticed, have started to pick up since we heard about this. So we'll talk about that on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Plus, the Minnesota Wild have a new general manager. Why that was a hypocritical move. Derek Brassard signs with the Islanders today. Colin White with the Ottawa Senators. They get an extension going there. Will Jason Williams be back? Be back this season for the Carolina Hurricanes? We will speculate on that. Matthew Tkachuk's agent, Don Meehan, is talking, wondering why his client doesn't have a deal. RFA stuff really starting to heat up. We'll dive into it a little bit. Speaking of RFAs, the only offer sheet that we did get so far in this offseason, Sebastian Aho, we're finally hearing from him as European players are going on their NHL media tours. So we'll talk about why he signed an offer sheet and why he decided to go that route. It's kind of crazy. You know, it's kind of crazy to see what transpired with Sebastian Aho. I'm so happy I got the details for you. Something that you're probably going to not really hear in much detail anywhere else. And we have some new Carolina Hurricane uniforms. And let me tell you, there is one thing on this uniform that I absolutely love. And I'm really, really excited about for the 2019-2020 season here. It's all coming up on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Thanks for hanging with us. All right, welcome in. It is a stormy Wednesday night here on Long Island, where we are broadcasting live from Hockey Talk Show and HockeyTalkShow.com, Facebook and YouTube. Thumbs up on the video right away if you're watching live or on the replay. What's up, Matt, over there in the YouTube chat? Not going to have too much time to get to questions, but if you got a question, shoot it at me. Let me know. And, of course, if you're listening on the podcast, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That always helps. And if you head on over to HockeyTalkShow.com, you can donate to the show now. Well, 99 cents a month action. Who doesn't love that? Trust me, we got a lot of fun stuff planned for this upcoming season, so you're going to want to get in on that. Support the Hockey Talk Show if you can with a 99 cents a month donation. That is way, you can't even get a splash of coffee in a cup for that much money. I mean, it's insane. Donate to the Hockey Talk Show. Support us a little bit there if you can. Certainly do appreciate that. Let's see here. Let's talk about this Mitch Marner thing. I kind of love this guy. I mean, he really is not coming off of his number. And his number is 12. That's the thing that nobody really wants to talk about. I see it in a lot of circles. I read all the rumors. I see what's going on out there in the world. Marner's number is 12. And you might as well just go ahead and get to it. The rumor mills have kind of lit on fire since this came out late yesterday. But Darren Dreger reported it that Mitch Marner's representatives, now he does have an agent here in the States and he does have one over in Europe. Why players have two agents like that is a little beyond me. But anyway, have been talking with the Swiss League club, the Zurich Lions, the ZSC Lions, about training with them next month. They positioned that pretty carefully, saying that he wants to train with them next month. They didn't say sign a contract, play a year. But, I mean, essentially, he would have to sign a contract to go play with him. Now, if that were to happen, which I don't know if it actually would, that would absolutely have an NHL out clause in it. If he came to some sort of an agreement with the Toronto Maple Leafs, obviously he'd be leaving the Leafs. I'd be leaving the Zurich Lions to go and play with the Leafs. But there has been little contract talks between Marner and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Dreger reported on that. Dreger also said that Marner could pay the insurance premium and attend Leafs training camp next month without a contract. What a circus that would be, Darren Dreger said. He also suggested a trade interest in the 22-year-old winger will grow as well as the days go by. So also water is wet and the sky is blue. A lot of things pointed out there by Darren Drager. We don't really appreciate the semantics, but he does do a good job reporting. If he goes, he's not going to go to training. Why he brought that up at all is beyond me. Mitch Marner's not paying his own freight to go to Leafs training camp without a contract. That's just not going to happen. This is a classic game of chicken and who's going to blink first. But what's interesting is league-wide, I mean, you look at all the players, there have been very few RFA signings. And we still got a lot of the big boys out there. I mean, it's not just Marner. It's Patrick Laine. It's Matthew Tkachuk. In fact, Don Meehan spoke about this. That's Matthew Tkachuk's agent. He spoke about the contract situation, and he said they were super proactive with the Calgary Flames, and they haven't had a conversation with them since June.
An approach whereby we would be really proactive and progressive with Calgary. We started early, and we set a position. We didn't really have to wait. We formulated a position that we thought would be fair, and we gave that to Calgary probably the early part of June. So we're involved in negotiations right now, but as far as I'm concerned, it's not a waiting game. We've made a decision in terms of what we think is fair and relevant for the player, and we're working with Calgary now. I'm not sure whether we hear so much about the waiting game in terms of maybe some agents feel that they're reluctant to make a deal in view of the fact that they might be outmatched by somebody else at a later date. But I'm not sure really why there's such a lull in the market. I think the market is determinable. And I think if you have that benefit of knowing the market and having the experience, then you should be proactive and move ahead. The worst thing that you want is a Nylander kind of scenario where the player is out until December. That's not beneficial for the player or the club.
All right, so that is Don Meehan discussing the Matthew Tkachuk situation, saying, hey, we gave Calgary an offer back in June. We were proactive. We don't want to go till December. We don't want, you know, another Nylander situation. I love that he kind of flat out pointed out Nylander in that scenario. He's like, we don't want another Nylander situation for sure. That's not what we want. That's not what we want to have happen. Why is this happening? And I think it's fascinating that Nylander even admitted, like, hey, we don't know why there is such a lull in the market. And I think that's a great, great point. Why is there such a lull in the market? Why are we sitting here August 21st? Mitch Marner's not under contract. Matthew Tkachuk is not under contract. Patrick Laine is not under contract. Kyle Connor. I mean, you go up and down the list. I haven't looked at this, but it feels like 90% of these free agents that are RFAs are still out there and still available. Why the hell is that? It doesn't make any sense. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Mitch Marner and the free agency situation. Thumbs up on YouTube and Facebook if you guys are watching. Shoot a comment too. Let me know you guys are there, where you're watching from. If you have any questions, we'll try and answer them quite quickly here. We're going to move briskly through this hockey talk show. Maddie, Eddie, AK, what's up, guys? Good to see you guys burning up the chat over there on YouTube. Things are a little bit quiet on the Facebook side right now. Hope you guys are well. Hope you guys are with us. I don't know if it's going to shed any light on the scenario, but Sebastian Aho was just talking about this. He was doing his NHL European media tour. You know, the league will, in these late dog days of summer, start to throw the guys around. They'll do some media just to kind of stir up a little, you know, something, get some buzz going on. And so Aho was doing his European run, and he said that he never had a clue an offer sheet was coming his way, and that he never spoke directly with Canadiens general manager Marc Bergevin. Now, if you go back to Bergevin's comments when he first made the offer sheet, he was like, oh, the player likes Montreal. He told us he wants to play here. He was doing all this stuff. And here's Sebastian Aho, August 20th, going, I never spoke with Marc Bergevin. Now, maybe Bergevin was interpreting that through the player's representation. That's one thing. But it's just kind of funny to hear both sides of this and how people are kind of just grabbing headlines here. But anyway, Aho said that he never spoke with Marc Bergevin directly or had a long time to weigh the pros and the cons before he signed the heavily front-loaded $42 million five-year deal with the Habs on July 1st. He says, and I quote, "There was not a lot of time to think about it. A day. It happened really fast. It was really important to start the season on time to me. That helped to get there. It felt like the right thing to do at the moment." Aho waited another 24 hours or so before receiving a text from a Carolina Hurricanes staff member telling him that they were matching the offer sheet. It was followed by a phone conversation with owner Tom Dundon. The 22-year-old acknowledged that the entire experience was a bit uncomfortable. He said during the European Player Media Tour, "It wasn't easy for sure," end quote. Dude, I mean, that is incredibly awkward. It's not what you really think it is. It's certainly not what they show in the movies. But here's a guy who on July 1 gets an offer sheet, takes a look at it, doesn't know what he wants to do. You got a day to think about it. Why a day, Ant? Well, Montreal probably told him, "Hey, here's this offer. We're pulling it off the table in a day," because they probably were going to go out and offer sheet somebody else. Or they wanted to keep the headlines going. Like, I don't know what their thought was, but my guess is that Montreal capped the day and they said, "You got a day to think about this." And then he just signed it. Now, the interesting thing was the Carolina Hurricanes basically said, you know, they were shocked to see the offer sheet. They probably would have given him more years. But he sort of jumped the gun and then didn't even get a phone call. Couldn't even get a friggin' phone call from from Carolina Hurricanes general manager Don Waddell. Couldn't even get a phone call. Got a text from a staffer. That's a little odd. And then eventually he gets the phone call from the owner. But still, the whole scenario is bizarre. Everything going on in Carolina right now is bizarre, by the way. Don Waddell's contract expired. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Don Waddell's contract expired. And Tom Dundon, the owner, was like, "Well, I don't know why these guys even need contracts." And so he agreed to stay on working under his old contract, which was expired. And then he just went up and interviewed for the Minnesota Wild job. They didn't even have to ask permission because he wasn't under contract. He just went up and interviewed. And then Tom Dundon was interviewed about it. And they were like, "Hey, you know, your guy went up to Minnesota." He's like, "Yeah, you know, he has the right to do that. It's no big deal. We'll figure it out." And then he winds up signing into an extension. I don't know. This Tom Dundon guy he befuddles me. He's so bizarre. Like, have some respect for the game. I understand that you're sitting there going, "Oh, I don't know why these front office guys have contracts." Well, there's a reason why, because they can walk to another team. That's why. That's why they have contracts. That's why players have contracts. It's because there's talent in front office people, just like there's talent on the ice. You got to lock up talent, or else talent's going to walk across the street, work for somebody else, and stick it to you. You half an idiot. How do these people make all their money? Well, they can't even understand this. And why would you put the guy through the embarrassment of dragging him through a couple of months of working without a contract, have him backdoor you and go up to Minnesota and interview for another job just to get you to sign on the dotted line? This guy, he really, honestly and truly is a little bit of a thorn in my side. He just makes moves that are so friggin' stupid. So stupid. Justin Williams says that a decision from him on whether or not he's going to play this season is going to most likely come this week. Actually, that came from Rod Brendamore, who said that Williams has been thinking about his future, and he told the News and Observer earlier today, that the 37-year-old forward is likely getting pretty close to a decision. He says, Rod Brendamore, and I quote, "I would expect to hear something for sure, if not this week. It's coming up quick. Obviously, we have to know." So it'll be interesting to see if Justin Williams is back in the mix for the Carolina Hurricanes. Derek Brassard signs a one-year deal with the New York Islanders today. No big deal, $1.2 million. Definitely disappointing for Derek Brassard. Traded twice last season, trying to be the third-line solution on a lot of teams. Was touted as a second-line center for a little while there. He'll try and slot into a third-line spot for the Islanders. People may be thinking, why was this guy signed? What happened to our hopes of Mitch Marner, Patrick Laine? I think you guys can forget about the RFAs, as we've been talking about here on the Hockey Talk Show. This guy, whose face you're seeing on the screen here, Down and Out Right Insurance Policy, in case Michael Dell Cole or Joshua Hosang completely suck coming up in training camp, which is entirely a possibility. Let's talk about those Minnesota Wild and their new general manager, former New York Islander, former New Jersey Devil, former Pittsburgh Penguin. Bill Guerin comes in to run the Minnesota Wild. Now, I love this hire. I think Bill Guerin is a sweetheart of a hockey guy. Obviously, one of the great players of our time. Seemed to captain damn near every single team that he was on. Just a good nose to the grindstone type of hockey player. Takes care of his guys on the ice. I think he'll make a great general manager. Spent the last 5 years or so as assistant GM from the Pittsburgh Penguins, so he's been learning under Jimmy Rutherford, which you can't get any better than that. That guy's got a couple of rings to talk about. And he replaces Paul Fenton, who was fired after just 14 months in the GM seat in Minnesota. Now, I don't have a problem with this hire. Like I just said, I love Billy Guerin. What I do have a problem with is ownership over in Minnesota fires their general manager after 14 months talking about, we should have hired a guy with experience. This time around, we're going to hire a guy with experience. They forego a whole slew of guys that are out there who had a ton of experience, and they hire a first-time general manager again. Now, this is why teams fail, because ownership, front office, like I said, most of the time it's ownership. Ownership can be very stupid, as we've seen in Carolina and Ottawa and a lot of other places. But they come right out and they say, this is why, by the way, this is why you have PR. This is why you have media relations. This is why you have these departments, so they can catch these things and these bouts of stupidity ahead of time. But last episode of the Hockey Talk Show, we talked about Craig Leopold coming out going, yeah, I'd like to hire somebody with experience. Who gets hired? The guy who has no experience. Now, he's got experience being an assistant general manager, obviously. They didn't hire the guy who puts cheese on the nachos. You know what I mean? Billy Guerin's not going to come in there and embarrass himself. But he's never been in the scene. He's never actually run a franchise. Again, I don't have a problem with Billy Guerin. I think it's actually a great hire. But you look like an idiot when you're out there talking about, well, we're firing this guy because he had no experience, and we're going to hire a guy with experience next time. And then you literally go out and do the same thing you just did, which was give an assistant GM the GM job. I mean, you fired a guy because you were like, I thought he would be good in the general manager job, and it turns out he couldn't make that transition from assistant GM to GM. Who are you going to hire next? Another assistant GM? And you just look like an idiot. You just flat out look like an idiot. That being said, not a great day for Craig Leopold, but it is a great day for the organization because Billy Guerin is a good hockey guy, great vision on the ice. What I love about him is, as soon as he retired, he worked his way up. He was player development at first. I think he actually spent a little time scouting before he snuck into that player development spot. And then he got up to assistant general manager for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So he's paid his dues. He's worked his way up. He's earned it. I think he's going to do really well. But if you were hoping against hope that you were going to get one of the Stanley Cup winning general managers that were out there. Now, again, were they that exciting? Not a lot of faith in Peter Chiarelli these days, Doug Lombardi, but there's experience there. You know, people were talking about Garth Snow, but there's experience there. You know, not a lot of success with Garth Snow, but the other two won Stanley Cups. The other two built Stanley Cup contending teams. Billy Guerin has never. So we'll see what he turns up and winds up doing. Adam, what's up there in Arizona? The Wild are in a tough spot. AK commenting here, they're good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to win it all. I think they should focus on rebuilding. Yeah, we've been talking about the Wild's issues and those two contracts from Parisi, what's his name? They were so burdensome, but as the cap has grown, they're really not that much. I mean, their term sucks, but their hit, not all that bad. Hextall was the other one. Thank you, Matt. I thought Hextall would have been the move. Hextall would have been a good move. Maybe he was just too patient. Who knows? It's kind of crazy though to see Ron Francis, GM of Seattle, Billy Guerin, GM of of Minnesota. We've had a fairly decent amount of GM turnover in the last few years, which is pretty interesting. But anyway, yeah, Minnesota, they have a lot. They're one of those mid-range teams, and it's so hard to be in that spot. I mean, it's really, really hard to be in that spot because, you know, your draft picks suck. You don't make it far in the playoffs. You know, you're not really threatening. Guerin's got to figure out the Zucker situation. He's got to get that under control. You know, that's been a sore spot that Paul Fenton really just fumbled up in a major, major way and far too much. You know, Minnesota, I think, I'm bringing up their cap space right now. They got $8 million in cap space. You know, so they can make some moves there. They do have some moves to make. Mikko Koivu's 36. You know, he's in his last year of a deal here. They just got Kevin Fiala. What are they going to do with him? He's an RFA. He needs a contract. I love the Matt Zuccarello signing. We have a blog about this at upathockeytalkshow.com. The most economic signing of the offseason. People go crazy because they gave him $6 million and they gave a 31-year-old 5 years. It's a classic overpay. But when you look at all the free agents that were signed, every dollar per point, Matt Zuccarello is like right there. I think little Joe Pavelski is the only one who is maybe a little bit more efficient, but he didn't sign as long term and he's a lot older. So Matt Zuccarello was the absolute most efficient signing in the offseason. We studied this one long and hard. If you don't believe me, go ahead and read the blog over at hockeytalkshow.com. It's all spelled out right there for you. I think we'll end on a nice light note here, talking about jerseys. It's one of my favorite things in the planet to talk about. I love jerseys. I love looking at jerseys. I love different styles. And so the Carolina Hurricanes unveiled their new road sweaters for this season. If you haven't seen them yet, they are up on the screen for you right now. If you're listening on the podcast, fast forward on over here. What are we into here? 22-minute mark, and you'll see the Canes' new unis, which I didn't love at first reaction, and they have definitely kind of grown on me. I will tell you this, my absolute favorite part about this jersey, which I thought was a credit to Carolina, which it is not, turns out this is a league-wide move, is not actually featured in this shot, but I will show it to you next. But let's take a look at the uniform to begin with. They go with the classic slanted diagonal writing across the front of the jersey, which, by the way, the Rangers had a pretty funny tweet today. They tweeted out that, like, face. Oh, I just X'd out. Yeah, you could see there. They threw up their, they threw up the shot of the Canes' new jersey, and they had that thinking emoji next to it, which is pretty funny. Kudos to the Rangers Twitter for thinking on their feet and being pretty hilarious there. But yeah, I don't, so a couple of thoughts. I don't love the nickname gimmick that the National Hockey League had going on there for a little while with the Bolts and the Sens. I don't mind calling teams that. I don't necessarily love it on the jersey. I actually liked the jerseys that they had. They weren't great, but I always love a good third jersey. But I don't love seeing a nickname on a jersey. I wouldn't mind seeing Hurricanes. And I'm also of the belief, too, that on your road jersey, much like in baseball, it's your city that should be on the front and not your nickname, you know. And now the Rangers obviously, you know, get a pass here. But I do sort of, I like the city on the jersey if you're traveling on the road rather than, you know, whatever your team name is. And I certainly don't love the nickname on there. But Canes. A little bit of flair, a little bit of style. They have that. They have the two squares up in the C over here. You can see, and the C in Canes has the two squares in it. That's been on their T-shirts over the last part of the season here that just passed by. So they incorporated that into the jersey. A little bit of design there. I think it would be cool if the Captains sort of had that on their C. Justin Williams comes back. I think if he had that up in the top corner with the two, you know, the Hurricane logo there. That's the symbol of a hurricane, by the way. That's why they have the squares like that. They have that in the C for the captain. I think that'd be cool. I think you could even incorporate it in the A for the alternate captain. It would have been too much to put it in the A here, too. But I think on the A, that would be a nice little thing. Nobody ever really messes with the C's and the A's except for Calgary. They did a nice job with that. But I think even there, I have to go look. I think even their new ones are, they're not like they were back in the Iginla days. And the squares on the bottom are different. The middle part of the black is not entirely black. It's like shaded in this red. So it's a slight design change for them. And of course, they've abandoned their one square flag for the two square flags up on the shoulders again. It's not the biggest departure in the world to their uniform of the past. Some slight updates. You know, they'll move some more merch this way. I don't hate it. I wasn't totally in love with it. It's not groundbreaking, but it's cool. It grew on me since I've been looking at it for the past couple of days. But I will tell you the thing that I absolutely loved. Oh my God, loved. I'm obsessed with this right now. Maybe the biggest change so far for the league as far as the uniform systems go. Take a look at this. The new helmet decal is now a raised 3D decal. Dude, this is sweet. Now, you may call me an obsessed loser, geek. I don't care. But when I saw this, I was like, holy cow, that is an awesome look. And I was about to go ahead and apologize to Tom. I was going to go write him a card. I was going to go write him an apology card and apologize for all the bad things I said about him. Because I thought, you know what? The uniforms are okay, but the helmet decal, 3D like that, sweet. Really, really sweet. And I said to myself, I go, the rest of the league is going to copy this, and they're all going to do it. As it turns out, it wasn't Carolina's idea. A lot of other teams are doing it as well. Here's a look at, let me see here. Who do we have? I think we have the Kings, right? Let's see. Buffalo, the Kings, and San Jose have all introduced raised lettering or raised logos on their helmets. You can see all three right there. And I just love it. I just think that, honestly, out of all the four major sports, I think the National Hockey League has the absolute coolest uniform systems. Baseball is very traditional and nice. You know, football is just all numbers. Very boring. Don't love it. They've tried to do a bunch with the NBA. I just always feel like they're missing it, you know. And plus, the NBA doesn't have sleeves, so you do miss out a big area of design on an NBA jersey. But they're trying over there in the National Basketball Association. But the NHL has just style and class and flair. And I just think that this is something that I didn't see coming. You know, it's hard to make an innovation in a uniform, but I think they've really succeeded. So I'm going to do some research and see who's responsible for doing this. I don't know if this is part of the Adidas uniform system or if this was just a league decision, but I mean, this is just sweet. I mean, it is just really nice. And it's going to show off the game really well, too, because, you know, with HD TVs, this is going to really pop on screens. And just also think about scraps happening and guys getting tossed down to the floor, skidding on the ice. Imagine, you know, Buffalo players getting up off of a scrum and just having a whole bunch of ice build up all around this Buffalo logo. Like, I just think it's going to add a little something to the mix this year, you know? It's just really, really nice. Dave makes a good point up on Facebook. The Buffalo jersey, the Buffalo Sabres 50th anniversary jersey. Very, very sweet. I didn't put it on my rundown for this episode. Because I feel like we were a little late on that one, but everybody's kind of seen it already. But the Buffalo Sabres 50th anniversary jersey is just beautiful. Just a beautiful job. They really did a good job with it. You know, all golded out, 50th anniversary. That's the gold anniversary. You know, it's a white jersey. It's just super sweet. You know, it's just super sweet. There's really not much to complain about when it comes to that jersey. Let me see here. Let me pop it up for you guys really quick, and we'll end on this one here. As you can see, traditional logo, the Buffalo Sabre, the two swords underneath it. Just a lot of gold flaking in there. Also, Vegas has got to be pretty pissed about this because they used the Vegas gold, and they also went to the white glove like Vegas did. I mean, Vegas should hit them with a thinking emoji, just like the Rangers hit the Canes with one. But really nice, just a beautiful look, replacing that yellow with the gold. Simple in design, but you know what? This is what you want. You know, that's kind of where you want to be. And they did a nice job of, and you can kind of see it in this long shot, of embracing all of the logos. They've had a couple. The traditional, the old school red and black one, and it looks really nice. And the Buffalo Sabres blue. And they also have the slug. You can't see it in the shot that I'm showing you right now, but they also have the slug logo on the inside of the neck there. So just really, really nicely done with all this detail. I think Vegas was the first one to kind of really just sort of incorporate a lot of texture into their gold and their jerseys. And I think we're going to see a lot more teams do that because it's a beautiful part of that design. You know what? I shouldn't give all the credit to Vegas on there. Ottawa did that not that long ago. They actually did it first. Ottawa had some texture, I think, in their black, which I really do love. Gives a lot of depth to the jersey. Just really, really nice. So good on them. But I'll tell you what, though, as I look at the inside, I do love the old red and black logo of the old Hasek days, the 90s Sabres, the jerseys that they took to the finals against Dallas. That logo looks really nice in the blue, does it not? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that logo pop back onto a jersey or third jersey in the future with these, you know, traditional, the blue and gold or blue and yellow colors. I think that would be pretty darn sweet. So just great stuff from the Buffalo Sabres, as well as we got a lot to look forward to with the jerseys. I think actually we're going to get a couple of more unveils. So we'll do as we start to preview, as we get into September and start to preview this season, you know, we'll look at all the, we'll look at the power plays, you know, we'll compare those and we'll do our predictions, of course, but we'll take some time to really take a look at the jerseys, because we were actually supposed to get, I think, some more jerseys than we're actually going to wind up getting. I don't think we're going to get as many jerseys as there was speculation on. So we will keep our eye on that for sure. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you guys share it on your social channels if you can. Please throw some donations our way. You can do so at HockeyTalkShow.com. 99 cents a month, you can support the Hockey Talk Show, and that is certainly appreciated. We're going to get to multiple episodes a week here as we start to gear up for next season. And like I said, those preview episodes are going to be coming. I also feel like there's going to be a flurry of activity once training camp gets closer. Because again, we're sitting here with all these RFAs and all these decisions that need to be made. I think we're going to see trades. I think we're going to see signings. I don't know if we're going to see an offer sheet this late in the game. I think that an RFA is more apt to be traded than offer sheeted at this point, to be totally honest with you. But I think we're going to see a lot of activity as we get closer to the season here. So remember to keep it right here on the Hockey Talk Show. We'll have you guys all updated on what's going on, whether it be our Facebook stream, our YouTube stream, or on our podcast. Don't forget to rate and review. Don't forget to share. And thank you guys so much for the comments and everything else. Matt, Eddie, AK, Kill in the chat over there on YouTube. Dave, Adam, and the rest over there on Facebook. You guys are amazing as always. And we'll see you really soon here on the Hockey Talk Show and thehockeytalkshow.com.